You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results. Are you ready to take the quantum leap? Here's Parisha.
Welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network's Quantum Leap Book Club. Our host, Parisha, is currently traveling and will not be with us today. However, we have the co-host, including Trina Cooper, a lifelong entrepreneur from Denver, Colorado, Rosemary Heyer, an English teacher working with children in Frankfurt, Germany. Also, Dr. Joyce Mollenhauer, a doctor of naturopathy, coming to us from Kingman, Arizona. Marianne Love, clinical psychologist in Melbourne, Australia. And today, Mike Delar coming to us from Montreal in Canada. And Mike is an engineer. And myself, Geraldine Darby Ball, an environmental biologist based in Sydney, Australia. And we're reading the most interesting book, Inside the Earth, The Second Tunnel by Raju Sinha. And we're right in a pretty powerful section. The chapter is actually called A Powerful Shock. And I'd like to start today. So if you're looking at the pages and reading along with us, that would be page 42. So we're picking up partway through this chapter of Inside the Earth, and it's called A Powerful Shock. And on page 42, what we'll find is we're really taken immediately into this idea of what is it that is inside us? What is the information? What's always unseen but present? Because Dr. Xiang is talking with Raju, and he shares with Raju that we have this information that's inherent in anything. And in this case, he gives the example of a person. So he says a person is conceived, they grow, they mature, all of that movement that they go through. But he also shares that the original parents, those who gave birth to them, stay on as an inspiration, a moral code, an emotional code. But then it's like, well, what does this actually mean for us? And you can hear we're taken on this journey with Raju, and it's like, well, what does it mean? Luckily, he gives us another example. But before that, they share, and I'll just read this sentence. Do not let yourself be guided by the concepts of others who have wanted you to believe in the terms of beauty and harmony that they taught you. And they gave this to you in a certain way, but how they gave it to you is based on their perception of the subject. That sounds friendly enough, but also it goes on to say it's also based on their level of ignorance. Then there's a sharing of another example, artwork. So we could say, okay, there. So maybe they've just said, you know, the parents gave birth to the child, et cetera. They're there for inspiration. But what if that inspiration is basically pretty ignorant? So He's really inviting Raju, and through Raju, all of us. Don't let ourselves be guided by the concepts of others. And in particular in this book, it's time to really open to that. He gives the example of artwork, and again saying, it's not just about that beautiful sculpture that you see. Perceive the shape as much as the attention to the person who created it. And in this case, we're looking at the creator as in, and it's a beautiful poetic way of describing it, the creator, and this could be you, it could be me, it could be any of us, the creator filling with the breath of life and his magnetic energy or her magnetic energy. So really we're moving into a bit of a physics there, that there's actually a magnetic energy within something. And Raju then goes on to say, okay, I can understand that from a person or an artwork. I can see a consciousness there in an artist, but what about the planet? And this is where we're led on that journey again, that it's in the core. The beginning forms and maintains the core. So straight away we're asked these questions. So how do we ask ourselves, you know, how do we not be guided by the concepts that others want us to know? And the completion of page 43 really goes on to say, this concept then of others wanting you to see it, how they understand it, and how they understand it's based on their level of ignorance and their own perception, that the whole of science is based on wherever they're at. So he says even quantum physics, which is really starting to push that boundary of, you know, things are not as they look. But even there, he's saying it's not quite there. It's almost a letting go of everything, letting go of all these concepts. And he shares a little, which is an exciting part that moves us on, about planets. So planet Earth, yes, all of the planets. So when he's asked, you know, what about the planets? And he shares, well, the planets are big souls manifesting. So at this stage, we now see we're being introduced to all of life form, not only as the physical thing that we're looking at it, but what is the intention behind it, and then what is the emanation of that own thing in its personal evolution, including a planet. And with that, I'd love to come over to Joyce, Dr. Joyce Mollenhauer, as I know she has more to add to this.
So we're at a really interesting part here. And I love the fact that they make this understatement that contemporary science doesn't have any concept of what that's all about, that this is totally different than anything that's ever been described that way. So traveling to the core of the planet is the title, subtitle on page 44. So he's trying to give us some idea of what this would be like, because it's not something that can really be described. And I love the statement that Radar makes here, that what he was listening to from Dr. Zian was the sweetness of an effervescent intuition, telling him all the information was not given to me by accident, that he was ready to live such an experience soon. So Dr. Zian has been working very hard explaining to this amazing author just what he is going to be experiencing. And obviously there's nothing that he can compare to of any of his past experiences. So he asked the question, what would the scientists and the crew encounter if they were going down this tunnel? And Dr. Zian says, solid matter, earth, rocks, and lava. But the big question is, there is such a strong magnetic field that nothing that they have ever been accustomed to knows how to get through that whole really powerful field. And one of the outcomes could be that they could get crushed because of the magnetic. So the crew of the ship needs to have everything necessary to break through the last layer of lava and to resist the energetic field that it sends out. So these are all elements. These are all issues that need to be solved and thought through before they ever start down this tunnel. So the members of the crew would then cross over the lava deposit, and they would have to protect themselves because they would have this pressure that was being emitted, and they would have a high temperature that they would be dealing with, and they would have massive radiation. So these are all things that on an ordinary trip, when you're going down to see some new place, nothing of this is comparable. So they, once they've decided or had some impact with all of that, then he explains with success with that, one of the results is the biological body changes. Well, that's not too hard to imagine when we've talked about high temperatures, we've talked about radiation, and we've talked about pressure. So along with the biological body changing, the thinking of the person would change. So evolution is happening. This person or the people or animals, whatever, would be evolving. So then he talks about, this isn't a quantitative experience. This is about quality of this experience. So it's qualitative. So even that concept, one has to stop and think, what does this really mean? And can I possibly imagine if I was going down this tunnel with them, what that would all be about? So transformation's happening, and the crew are having to adapt to an energetic resonance. And maybe Mike, as our engineer, will explain more what that really means, because I can't say that I can put that into words, but the frequency of the energetic resonance is very high and has to be adapted to. So he's referring to a plane or dimension vibrating with a superior frequency to the material plane. So the energy field they are moving through has nothing in comparison to what they have left. This is all a new experience. And he says, going to the material center of the earth, one would actually never get there. Now, this is really a statement and a half, and maybe we can have some more discussion with other co-hosts about this. He says, we'll never actually get there because he will first reach the etheric plane, entering a realm superior to the material dimension. So nothing in the material world that we are familiar with would be a base for us to understand this. And he goes on to say the necessity of personal evolution, well, you can certainly imagine the individual would have to evolve into a different state, continues to grow. And the individual, and I love the fact he uses this word, the individual mandatorily evolves. So it's mandatory that the person evolve in order to go through this experience. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to go any further, and he wouldn't be able to break the restrictions. He says, corresponding to the vibrational frequency of the material plane from which the journey began. So there's nothing about the beginning of the journey that one could compare to what the journey is happening as they go. So now I turn this over to the next co-host.
That really works well. And what we've just mentioned, Joyce, about how we've got to let go of everything we know. And I'm glad you brought up the word resonance, because I did look it up as well, just in the very brief before we hand over to Rosemary, that what it had is the definition of resonance is the tendency of a system to vibrate in that the wave like this. So it's a tendency that it has a particular vibration at some particular frequency of excitation. So when something's excited, it starts to vibrate. That vibrate has a particular pattern, and that pattern is known as its resonance. So just have that in mind when you're thinking about resonant frequencies. We're talking about an excitement of the thing and how it's vibrating. And on that point, I would love to hear more from Rosemary, because we're about to go into the simulation of traveling to the core of the planet?
We are now coming to the section of the inner Earth and the evolution of consciousness. And I think the title basically says it all, because it tells us that if you want to successfully travel into the Earth, and Joyce has already described that much, if you want successfully travel into the inner Earth, you have to change the level of your consciousness. And that is basically part of the shocking truth, that it's not material, it is etherical, it is a non-material reality, and you must work with your consciousness, or as Joyce shared, mandatory to evolve and raise your frequency to be able to arrive at the core. So, Dr. Zhen is in this discussion with Radu describing this part. And as we know, just a little sideline, Radu kind of has an eye on this beautiful female being called Xin Li. And he doesn't want to really look stupid in front of her. So he keeps asking some more questions again and again and again, the same question, but only when Xin Li left the room. So he doesn't look so bad. So here he's asking the same old question again, which he had this bit before, and Joyce shared about that. What happens on the way down? What actually happens on the way down? And I like the answer of Dr. Zhen. It's pretty point blank. You will lose your mind at a certain point. You will just simply lose your mind. And the author, of course, is shocked. And he's saying, well, is that due to the frequency changes? And Dr. Zhen is really patient. So he goes through this again, just like he did before. First, you go through dense matter and heavy matter. And then you go to liquid. And of course, the dense matter, you think, oh, wow, this is really nice. It confirms all the law of classical physics. And I know where I am. But eventually you come to a point where you cannot go on anymore. You just simply can't go on because you are stuck in a situation which you are not ready for. Why? Again, because you have moved into a world which is beyond the material reality. Actually, what he calls a higher superior frequency. So you cannot understand anything, what is going on, and your mind cannot connect. And the way I see it is that your synapses in your brain are trying desperately to find some kind of association or memory of what you're experiencing, and there's nothing. You are actually in the unknown, and you draw a blank. And he says, if you insist, you know, if you're trying to push forward, you cannot. You simply get unconscious. You simply lose your mind, how he says. But not only you cannot take it anymore, it's also the equipment. The frequency has changed. Those equipment, which is equipped to live in, to be in the third dimensional material world, also falls apart. So you and the equipment cannot resonate, cannot move into a resonation with this higher frequency of a new reality. And he speaks about that you basically are stuck between the material and the non-material reality. But if you make it to the core of the Earth, if you really should make it, you are in a completely different world. And and it's not like a sudden thing. He describes that you go through several planes of existence while you're reaching that core. And again, you only can do that if your body and mind have considerably changed and rose to the frequency which is present in the core of the Earth, the non-material world. And that, again, he says, can only really happen if you prepare your body, because the evolvement, the acceleration of your raising, of your expansion of consciousness is so quick and so intense that you have to actually prepare your body ahead of time. And Marado says, well, is this a question of raising your consciousness or just being able to adapt yourself? And Dr. Zhen says, well, one serves another. Your mind if your mind cannot process any of the data, as I shared before, if you're in the unknown, you can completely blank, and you cannot process any of the data of this higher frequency, you basically lose consciousness. But if you are able to resonate with this higher frequency, you also have an understanding and you can adapt to what you're experiencing. So Radu says that now he has another question, and he goes again basically to the same question. What would a crew on the Earth's surface see at their monitor if they were observing this capsule or this machine going down into the inner Earth? That is the question. And I think the next co-host is covering that.
Indeed, in that case, it's quite exciting as we move over to Trina Cooper in Denver, Colorado, to see what indeed will they see.
Absolutely. And so we're right now at on page 48. And so again, we have Dr. Zinn, who's so patient and so caring about getting this information, but, you know, pauses, he's quiet, he lets Radu just keep continuing to ask these questions. And with that first question of what would they see, Dr. Zinn says, well, I don't think you really understand. I don't think you are hearing exactly what I'm saying, because as this capsule would move because of this higher frequency, basically the communication is not going to happen. It's not going to be able to communicate back. They're not going to be able to see anything because they're not going to be able to talk to each other. There's no longer going to be a coherent connection between these electronic components because the frequencies are different. So basically, the communication links are gone. They're not going to see anything. So again, Radu is being so inquisitive and he's really trying to understand this, but it's really starting to push the boundaries a little bit. And he says, well, if the frequency rises so much, then what happens to the solid matter inside the Earth? And Dr. Zinn, again, he's quiet, he's smiling, and Radu's kind of taken that in as, he sees that I'm asking these really good questions. And, you know, that makes me feel a little bit better, but he's still got this mind chatter going on through this, because even though what's been explained to him has not been that difficult to understand, it's really, he's beginning to feel this mental resistance. He's beginning to feel I'm not quite sure what's going on. So that monkey mind's starting, because what he knows is being challenged right now. And he's not quite sure where to go with that. And so he actually has the awareness to recognize, with all his years of training, he's got the awareness to recognize that this is going on. And, you know, it happens to all of us when we're being pushed with some new information or something that's completely contradictory to something that we understood before. Our mind starts trying to rationalize it, and we want to keep an open mind, but there's still that little chatter going on. So that's really what's going on with Radu right now. And at this point in time, Radu says, okay, I got to really open up. I got to be good with this, because this is really important. And he's thinking this is important, but he really has no idea that what's coming forward is going to be so mind-blowing that he just doesn't understand how important this conversation is becoming. So at this point, he begins to take a look and understanding that Dr. Zinn wants to go deeper into the conversation. So he finally says, okay, all right, let's just really zero in and see if we can comprehend this. And Dr. Zinn says, well, you go beyond the crust. And after reaching the mantle, if you remember, we talked about the different levels of what science has actually talked about the Earth is composed of. There's the crust, there's the mantle, and you move further in the Earth. But Dr. Zinn says, you go past the crust, you go after reaching the mantle or where it just begins, we just approximate what's there as well as what's further toward the center. And that kind of blows Radu again, and he kind of says, well, what kind of approximation? I don't understand it. And at that point, Dr. Zine gets really serious and he looks him in the eye and he says, from that zone beyond there, there is no more physical matter. Well, that in itself has got to really hit you pretty hard when you hear something like that. He says, once you hit that, the frequency of vibration, you've already moved into the subtle planes. So he begins to explain that you move into an etheric plane, you move into the astral plane, you get to the causal plane surrounding the center of the planet. And this is basically the structure of manifestation. It's basically, this can be found in any celestial body. It can even be found in the human body. So Dr. Zine continues on and he says, like in the human body, everything is just perfectly structured. But as we move in, the frequency becomes a higher vibrational frequency. And we start going into the subtle causal body all the way in there until we actually hit the center of the being where the heart is. And that's really the essence of what's there. And he's saying, so in reality, planets are beings. They have the exact type of matter, the same kind of conscious organization. And just as you're a human being, she, the Earth, the planet, is also constructed the same way. And that's really a deep concept. This is something that Radu hasn't had to deal with before, really. And Dr. Zine continues and says, this is the principle of correspondence, which traditional spirituality talks about. As above, so below. When they talk about as above, you're talking about the bigger things and the macrocosm. And when you talk about the below, you're talking about the small little microcosm of things. And so whatever is huge is exactly the same as whatever is tiny. The structural principle is exactly the same. So when you understand this, you begin to understand what happens when someone travels to the Earth's center. You begin to move into these different frequencies and you move into different vibrational levels of consciousness. So you can't move into it if you don't understand it. You can't go into it if you don't raise your vibration. You won't be able to see it. You won't be able to understand it. And you certainly won't be able to go there. So all of this is about raising your frequency, raising your vibration, raising your consciousness in order to travel to the center of the Earth. So the next piece on page 49 talks about the singularity of the center of the planet. And Radu's thinking, okay, as we go to the center of the planet, I understand there's no solid matter, there's no iron, there's none of this, but there has to be something there. He's trying to get his whole consciousness, his whole mind around this new concept. And Dr. Zine, again, he becomes quiet and still. And Radu's thinking, is he measuring his words? Is he trying to get me to understand this better? Maybe he's actually thinking it's like that monkey mind starts again. Maybe he thinks I'm going to mess up his plans. Maybe he's thinking this. Maybe he's thinking that. But really, there's this little time period, and Radu did not see what was coming. Dr. Zine's answer to what's in the center, in the core, is in the middle of the Earth, there's a black hole. And then there was silence, complete silence. Now, Radu, his mind's trying to organize this, figure it out. How does this apply? How does this work? I don't understand it. And Dr. Zine was still just waiting, just being quiet, just waiting for Radu to really pull himself together. And Radu decides, I'm not going to hurry through this. I really got to grasp this. So he says, well, let's just take it slowly. He tells Dr. Zine, let's go bit by bit so I get really clear on this and tie up all these loose ends before we move on. And that's kind of where we come to the end of page 49. Some pretty big things. One, about the fact that we're moving through different levels of consciousness, and two, that there's a black hole in the center of the earth. So that ends the piece that I'm sharing tonight.
And that's it. Every couple of pages is so powerful. It's like, okay, so now we've been told, you know, that everything we've heard might not be true about anything. And now the earth itself has a black hole at the center. And on that, I'd love to hand over to Marianne Love in Melbourne, Australia.
Hi, great to be here. I'm loving this book and it's mind expanding. So yeah, it does take you a little while to get your head around it. So I'm really glad he asked Dr. Zine several times and it gets explained in several different ways. So if you haven't picked it up from this call, definitely get the book and read over it and over it again until it sort of sinks in with for you too. So on page 50, you'll see a picture there that he describes exactly kind of what it looks like entering into the center of the earth, and shows the upper and lower mantles and in the middle of it being a black hole. But Radu was really keen to more understand, like he got the fact that, you know, frequency rises, vibrational frequency rises, but exactly, you know, how does consciousness pass through those subtle etheric planes? Like he really wanted to get his head around it. And I don't really blame him, seeing he's going on his own journey to the center of the earth and he's just been told that pretty much you can't get there without disintegrating in the physical form. So I reckon you want to just understand this a little bit more before you embark on the journey to a black hole. So I think one of the answers to him understanding, you know, how does consciousness pass, Dr. Zian shared that actually there's this huge ocean of water that's beyond the Earth's crust and it separates the physical world from the black hole. And in fact, like, you know, people have been trying to understand where does the water come from on the planet? Like, has it come from, you know, asteroids? Has it come from something hidden, the comets hitting the planet? And there is some talk that, yes, some of the water comes from that, but actually that doesn't explain the huge body of water on the Earth. And so the other mind-expanding thing about this part of the book is that Dr. Zian shares that the water actually comes from within the black hole. So somehow the water is emanating from the black hole, and it's described here in a bit more detail. So I'll actually read that to help get our heads around how that actually occurs. But, I mean, firstly, it's a big deal to think about the Earth, the center of the Earth is a black hole, and now that water comes from the black hole and that in between the outer crust of the Earth is water till you get to the center of the Earth, which is the black hole. And as Trina shared, everything is a black hole. And I haven't heard any other scientist talk about that except for maybe Nassim Haramein, that goes into quite a lot of detail about how the center of everything is a black hole. But most modern science wouldn't even begin to discuss this. They might get their head around the part where most life forms come from water. I mean, they're starting to talk about that. But they're not talking about a black hole and, you know, and making that sort of an acceptable part of our scientific teaching just yet. But Radu talks about the fact that even in the Bible, they talk about how everything was created out of clay, and clay being water and earth. And he felt that that was like this metaphorical description of how things are created. But Dr. Zian shared that, no, that's actually literal, like things are created from water and earth. And I've found that in other readings we've had is like some of those Bible readings actually are literal stories. They're accounts of history, which is a really interesting take on the universe and the planet and our evolution and creation. But the bit I wanted to read out from the book, which is in the bottom of page 51, It says the process to create water begins with a condensation of subtle water from the etheric plane through the dynamic rotation of a black hole. In the material plane, this condensation appears like an expulsion from the black hole's vortex, and right next to it, the water is manifested in the shape of ice. So water exists in cosmic space and in huge amounts. So let that settle in. So this is how water actually emanates from the vortex of the black hole. And I thought it's also worth mentioning what is a black hole. And I looked that up to just trying to find words to explain something that I find, you know, quite challenging to put together. So a black hole is a region of space-time where gravity is so strong that nothing, no particles, or even electromagnetic radiation such as light can escape from it. So a black hole's surface is called the event horizon, and it defines the boundary where the velocity needed to escape exceeds the speed of light, which is the speed limit of the cosmos. So that makes sense then. If this black hole, the gravity is so strong that nothing can escape from it, it explains why moving down into the center of the Earth, the actual energy gets so strong that what we're, our usual frequency of matter, our what our body exists in and what all material things exist in, actually starts to disintegrate at that point. And you'd have to function at a whole nother frequency in order to be able to have the experience of entering the black hole. So on that note, I'm going to hand over to our next co-host.
Yes, and I think that's it's a great one to remind our readers as well to have a look at that diagram on page 50. And also you can just flick it back and have a look at page 33 as well and recall what we really said, that when scientists say something, it's a theory. It's a theory. So have a look for yourself. Page 33 is what the current bulk of science says. Page 50 is what Marianne's just shared with us, including the information on the black hole. So get yourself a copy of the book, because there are a lot of diagrams in here, and it certainly helps as we move through to visualize the descriptions of what's being said. And on that, yes, love to hear from Mike Dillar.
Hi, can you guys hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So just before I start, I thought I would come back to Joyce's question. I know, Geraldine, that you had given her a nice definition. I want to give you, Joyce, maybe kind of a graphic that will help you understand what energetic resonance is. Imagine you've got some bells, you know, big bells, little bells that you ring. Well, if you put some energy into that bell by shaking it, it rings at a certain frequency, which is what we call resonance. It resonates at that frequency, or it vibrates at that frequency. So energetic resonance is just a vibration at a specific frequency. When it becomes dangerous is if it happens to be close to the natural frequency of the material. And that happens when you hear of somebody singing and they break a crystal glass. The reason that happens is their frequency and the natural frequency of that glass are very the same, very close, and it causes it to break. So I thought that'd give you just a little bit of a visual. Hopefully that helps. So I'm starting up on page 52, and I thought just we got to understand what's going on here. Dr. Sheen has just dropped a couple of bombs on Radu here by telling him that the interior of the Earth is full of water, and then it's full of water because it's produced, that water is produced by a black hole that's at the center of the Earth. So bing bang, one after another, Radu kind of gets hit by these things, and he's trying to really understand it. And at the bottom, just before he gets to this, he tells them, as Marianne said, that water is produced by the condensation from the subtle plane. And if you remember last week when we talked about going around the circle from from electrical energy to magnetic energy to matter, we talked about that change in condensation and how condensation happens when things get concentrated and then they condense out and they come into matter form. So he's saying water is really it's condensing out of the subtle plane, this other plane. It's coming into this subtle plane as a result of dynamic rotation. In other words, the energy that the black hole is putting into this plane is causing this material to condense out. And in the material plane, we see coming out of the vortex of a black hole. And some of the newer pictures, people have said in the past, you know, that black holes suck everything in, nothing can come out of them. But they have newer pictures from the side where, yes, things getting sucked in kind of like a whirlpool, but there is a jet of energy coming out both sides of it. And that material is what he is calling his expulsion that comes out from the vortex. And he says, when that comes out, he's told us, when that comes out, ice forms on the outside of it. So, you know, Dr. Shen says that, you know, this is all beyond what scientific beliefs and dogmas are for today. And he basically says to Radu, you need to put all of that stuff put it aside for a moment. And be open to accept the explanation, because the explanation is really simple and really obvious. And I thought I'd just divert a little bit, and Geraldine, you gave me a perfect segue into this, because, you know, what does current science actually believe? You know, we get so hung up, and Radu obviously is here, he's really hung up on what scientists believe and what are they going to think and how are they going to take all these new things that he's being told. Well, let's stop for a second and think about what current science believes. Well, they believe that there's one set of rules that describes the big things, the macro, and that's called relativity. Einstein came up with that. And then there's another set of rules that explains the little stuff, the micro, and that's quantum physics. And if you use these two big foundations of physics right now to explain the universe, they actually can only account for about 5% of everything. Everything else they can't account for. And all of the other stuff, the galaxies, the nebulas, the black holes, if they count all that stuff, they're still missing 95% of the material. And they call 24% of it black, dark energy matter, and they call 71% of it dark energy. But what they're basically saying is, about 95% of the universe is just totally dark to us. We haven't got a clue what it is. And so we have to understand that in light of, you know, Radu's questions here and the ability to put aside what the current thinking is. Because let's face it, the current thinking isn't very good when it can't explain 95% of what goes on. I mean, the point is that, you know, using any of the world's arguments to argue against what Dr. Shin is saying is really not very smart, because the model isn't very good. You know, Dr. Shin goes on to say, and this part blew me away. He says, any structure, no matter how big or how small, is based on the same fundamental principle. And that is that there's a black hole vortex at the center. And he calls it the principle of creation. So the principle of creation is a black hole vortex. You know, and every galaxy, every atom has a black hole vortex at the center. And he says it to ensure its existence and manifestation of evolution. In other words, for it to exist and to grow, there has to be a black hole vortex at the center. And to me, this was absolutely staggering, because as somebody mentioned earlier, Nassim Harriman has been saying exactly this same thing. I've been listening to him, and he says exactly that. There's a black hole at the center of everything. He actually goes on to say that the universe is fractal, meaning that the universe is the same at every scale. So above, so below, the same thing is happening at both ends of the spectrum. And he actually has equations that unite the big and the small, the micro and the macro. But to get back, Dr. Shen says that, in fact, our problem is we're really only interested in the materialistic understanding of things. All of our explanations really only deal with the materialistic understanding of stuff. And Radu tries to sort of, you know, justify that by saying, well, you know, that's men's prejudice. That's their scientific dogmas. And Dr. Shen says to him, yeah, okay, but if someone's not actively working and trying to get themselves to get past their preconceptions and their dogmas and to try to understand other realities, then you really can't expect them. You really can't expect very much from them. And you can't expect them to come up with anything very good. So then Radu, of course, comes back to the water issue, because Radu's whole take here is, hey, I'm going underground here. I need to understand physically what's going to happen to me. So he comes back to this water issue and he says, okay, wait a second here. How can black holes produce water when black holes are supposed to be sucking everything in? How can they be giving out water when they're supposed to be sucking everything in? And Dr. Shen kind of stands up, and I think he's almost to the point where he's getting a little fed up with all these water questions. But he basically tells them, that's old news. We already know, scientists already know there is a lot of water out in the universe, and they've seen it around black holes. So this is not something new. You know, look into it and you'll see it. You know, like I said, you may have seen some of these pictures of black holes that shoot, that have the, you know, where the black hole is flat as a spiral out of both sides, both edges, there's a jet of material flying out. In fact, I just was reading an article, and I'm trying to remember what magazine it was in, but it was in one of the mainstream science magazines, and a headline came across them, so I read it. And basically, these scientists have discovered through measurements that they're taking using these very powerful telescopes that they're finding water everywhere. They're finding that there is an abundance of water in the universe, something that the theories don't really explain and they don't really understand, but they're finding it. And, you know, Dr. Shin actually reminds Radu at this point. He says, look, you know, you just have to look back in history and see this is the way science works. They make these enormous proclamations about things, about how something is and how the science is, and it proves it and everything, only to turn around sometime later and make an admission, well, maybe that wasn't quite right, we got to modify it a little bit. And a couple of things come to mind when I hear that. I remember that in, I think it was about 1908, that the Royal British Society of Science, I guess it's called, made a proclamation that trains could not go faster than 30 miles an hour, because if they went faster than 30 miles an hour, people would not be able to breathe. And these were the scientists of the day. In fact, in 1934, there was a vote taken in the U.S. Congress to close the patent office, because everything of importance had apparently already been developed and invented. And that vote only lost by one vote. They almost closed the patent office. So scientists tend to be a little arrogant and think that they know everything. And being one, that's hard to take, but it's the truth. You know, Radu keeps coming back, though. He keeps coming back to the water thing, and he wants to know more about the water. And so he starts to ask about how the planets are formed. And there's a whole section here on how the water... On page 53, water and the real way that planets are formed. And Dr. Shin explains that you know, because Radu system, okay, how does water get produced out of the vacuum of space? Well, I think the first thing that he's wrong about is maybe the space isn't a vacuum. But Dr. Shin explains that around a black hole, space-time gets distorted. And I think that's pretty well common knowledge. You can go on YouTube and see all kinds of animations of how things get distorted around space, around a black hole. Black hole is called a singularity because the mathematics just doesn't work there. Okay, so he explains that it gets distorted around a black hole, and that what happens is there's a passing to another dimension or another, what he calls a manifestation corridor. I almost, when I read this, I got to admit, I almost got the image of a portal opening. It's like as you get close enough to the black hole, there's a distortion of space-time that kind of opens a portal into another dimension. And he says that liquid water that that is the material expression of the subtle energy of water. So that makes sense. Basically, it's the condensation of the subtle energy. And what happens is there's special conditions around the black hole that are because of all the energy of the black hole, where the subtle water from the etherical plane gets condensed into liquid water in the material plane. And so this is how he explains how it happens. And in fact, he explains how planets are formed, and I thought I'd give you the recipe. Here's the recipe for forming a planet. So you start with a vortex of a black hole vortex, and that's the forming nucleus of your black, of your planet. And then as the water is expelled out of the black hole, it starts to form the ice, and the ice mixes then with the dust and other materials to form stars. And the stars, because of the black hole, start to gravitate towards the black hole as they're attracted in. And as they get closer and closer, they start to consolidate and they form kind of a plug around the vortex. And all those conglomerates form like a crust from which the planet is formed. And that crust somehow blocks the center of the black hole. And Dr. Shin gives the visual of when you put together an arch and that last stone, what they call the keystone at the top, how once you put that together, it kind of locks everything in place. He sort of gives us that same visual as happening as the crust is forming and it kind of locks in place around the planet. And so the planet's formed with a black hole at the center, surrounded by water that underlines the crust of the planet. And with that, I'm going to pass it back over to you, Geraldine.
It's a great one, too, to let us know, let everybody know, to hop onto the Facebook site that we have for Quantum Leap Book Club, because a lot of what's just been shared through Mike as well gives us information. I'm sure you know, as we've said from the beginning, the very beginning of this chapter said to us, put aside everything we know. Even all the wonderful things that have been handed on so nicely as information, because they're coming to us from the level that those who are sharing it have, their perceptions and, as the key word was, their ignorance as well. So there's a lot of places you can get information. As Mike shared some, Marianne's mentioned the Seam Haramain for the black holes, that they don't just suck, they actually create. And here it is happening again, telling us about creation. Even things like moisture as part of the creation. Look at any of the traditional peoples and the importance of when the mist come and the ancestors come. There's so much there as well. We'll put on our Facebook site more information where you can find out about the Sumerian tablets. Tablets is information. Adding more about the creation of planets. And again, where you get multiple pieces of information saying the same thing, it's time to start saying, okay, what's really going on here? And I'd like to just hand back to the co-host for a moment for any final words as we're getting close to completing today's Quantum Leap Book Club call.
Hi, this is Marianne. Now, I think one thing that really stood out for me and touched me was on page, 43, where he talks about the center of the earth being actually the soul of the earth, in the same way that we have a soul and a spirit which can't be found just by looking at our material existence. Somehow beyond that, that's experienced, and he describes the center of the earth the same way, and I think that really touched me. I remember being at really beautiful places like Uluru in the center of Australia, feeling the love that emanates from that spot and realizing, you know, is that the love that's emanating from the center of this beautiful planet? Anyway, I wanted to share that.
I think that's a great sharing, and especially as it follows on from that part of that same page where he shares with us that science is wanting to solve problems from the viewpoint of the material aspect, and that science itself, not quite yet, hasn't move to conceive a reality superior to the material world. And that feeling of love, how can we describe that? You know, what we're saying is that feeling that is actually superior to material. May or may not be for different people, but for those who've experienced it, as you're sharing, there is this other aspect that science isn't quite describing. So, yeah, definitely great point. Anyone else who'd like to share?
Sure, I'd like to. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I'd just like to say, in addition to what was said there, and I love the fact that the heart is the love, but as well, over time, we have tended to look for things outside ourselves for answers. And this is just another huge demonstration that the answers are inside. They're inside the earth. They're inside us.
Absolutely. And adding Joyce from, you know, again, the book, any sentence, get the book yourself, find a sentence, underline it, and repeat it to yourself. Like one I underlined is, you will only go as far as your own vibrational level of consciousness will be able to fulfill the resonant conditions. So, and it goes on to say, there can be wonderful things right in front of you. You won't even see them if you're not vibrating to the point where you can see that. So what do? We lift our own vibrational level of consciousness. That's awesome, Joyce. Anyone else?
Yeah, I'd like to just add to this that we all invite you to come to the Facebook site, Quantum Leap Book Club, it's called, and have a discussion about this, because just as Mike said, there's quite some bombshells here, and it's maybe hard sometimes to wrap your mind around it. So it would be fun to hear your questions or comments or additions, and just send them to our Facebook site and we will reply. Thank you.
Absolutely. And Trina?
Yeah, I love the way page 53 ends, because it says, and this is Radu speaking, "Amazed, I listened to this explanation but could not understand what to believe. Was I finding out about an actual process, or was I smelling fantasy like science fiction?" And I think that's the question of this book too. And if we want to stay in the old way of science, the old way things have been, you know, the old things that we know or were taught, or do we really want to step out and open up? Radu tells us, I mean, Radu is not just a character in this book. Radu is the author and has said this is his true experience. So opening up and really exploring what he's trying to share with us, the fact that this is the time we're supposed to learn about these things and be able to experience them. So again, getting the book, reading it, taking it in, exploring out to see what else supports. And, you know, Nassim Harmin's name has been brought up a lot. His teachings are affirmations of some of this that are coming out. So, this is an invitation to get the book and dive into the things that you get really curious about. So what a fun adventure.
It totally is. And anyone who's got a scientific background, it's like Mike said as well, it's that point where it's okay, look, I might sound like I've lost it or gone too far. It's like talking about, you know, any other subject that the mass population is not yet there at. If we look at the works of Tesla, he got dismissed because he said energy could be wireless. There are so many examples where if you go back 100 years and look now, it's already happened. So let's be brave. Let's say, what if? And keep reading that. Mike, I know that you gave us a great section there at the end, but is there anything else you'd like to add before we close today's call? And
No, I think the only thing that really strikes me is how much all of our current ideas of reality don't really explain even a tiny little piece of it. So we really have to stay open-minded. If we don't, like, too bad for us. You know?
That's a great way to close today's book call. Be open-minded or too bad for us. And on that, it's time to conclude our studies for today. And we thank you for sharing your time and energy with us. You matter and you count. So You're always making a difference. And we look forward to being with you next week as we make that greater leap to consciousness. Have a powerful week. Allow your light to shine. And always, all good things to you.
Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week.